Welcome to AM Best Audio.
A new global survey from Rackspace Technology reveals that insurers are embracing AI not just as a tool for automation, but as a strategic asset capable of driving innovation, customer engagement, and long-term growth. While the majority of insurance IT leaders expect to realize a full return on investment from AI within 2 years, the road is not without obstacles, especially around data quality, security, and internal alignment. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and we're speaking today to Srini Kaushik, President of AI and Sustainability at Rackspace Technology. Srini, welcome. So great to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Lori. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
As am I. Srini, what's driving the shift in the insurance industry from seeing AI as a back office tool to recognizing it as a core element of competitive advantage?
Yeah. Look, a lot of people have a misconception about insurers that they're risk aware. It's actually quite to the contrary. Insurance companies, their main business is to understand the risk and mitigate and manage it. Right, so they're not risk aware. They're actually much more comfortable with looking at those technologies that help them manage and mitigate the risk better, so that they can protect what matters most for their customers and policyholders. So I think it's not surprising that insurers are one of the few sectors that have actually made some serious strides in using AI as part of their operations.
Even with rising investments in AI, many insurers say ROI is not the most important benchmark. Why is customer experience, cost efficiency, and innovation taking priority?
That's a great question. And I think one of the key things that AI can do is eliminate toil. Right, take it from a customer service representative for an insurance company's standpoint, right? He or she is on the phone handling everything from somebody has been in an accident and they need a friendly ear to listen to it and guide them through the process. In other cases, all they want to do is to check on their previous bill and what's going on with it, or if they have a question around the bill, it's a very, very transactional piece. Typically, in many of these insurance companies, these things go to the same customer service representative. So essentially, the service you get is not the greatest that you can actually provide. And so by using AI to kind of offload a lot of these transactional conversations, right, that's built on it and answer those questions quickly, it's actually good for the policyholder because they're not holding online for a long time to get a question around their bill answered. But at the same time, it also gives the customer service rep the time they need to have those meaningful and empathetic conversations. So it's no surprise that customer service is one of the first places that insurers have gone to. And the second piece of it is, as you continue to do this, there's a lot of activities that are in the insurance value chain that you would consider are just the generic term toil, right? Like repetitive work that is essentially going through a certain set of processes over and over again. If you can automate those tasks, again, it frees up more time to focus on what matters most. And so, not surprising, in such a policyholder-centric, people-centric business like insurance, they're using AI to improve those areas.
For the 36% of insurers labeled AI leaders in the Rackspace study, what differentiates their approach and what lessons can others learn from them?
Again, great point. Look, one of the first things that the leaders do is they focus on humans as much as they focus on AI, meaning they focus on getting their teams up to speed on being great users of AI. Right, and not just think of AI as a tool. You just don't train AI to do the job. You actually have to train humans to kind of work with it, be a coworker, and drive that. These leaders spend time investing in their people and the skills needed to work in this new world of AI. The other piece that they do is, again, I've told you at the start that they're very good at managing risk. So these leaders, what they end up doing is they're not waiting for AI to mature, right? Because this technology is moving at such a pace that, number one, you can actually advance your business ambitions very quickly using the tech. But number two, if you want to wait for everything to stabilize, it'll be too late. So what these leaders do is they recognize that trade-off, and they're using AI for the types of things that it is very, very good at doing today and leaning into AI. They're training their people, they're putting these solutions into production, and they're learning and pivoting as needed. They're not trying to do those use cases that may be 6 months away or a year away from AI being ready to handle that.
Well, speaking of use cases, what are some of the most promising or high impact use cases insurers are deploying AI in right now, particularly when it comes to customer service and product innovation?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about customer service, whether it's in a claims call center or in support of their agents in helping people understand, you know, the policies that they're buying, or actually using AI to collect a lot of the information in that front end process of policy initiation. Insurers are absolutely putting that in to automate it, drive those efficiencies to kind of take advantage of what AI can do. The other place where you look at, we talked about it, touched on it briefly, claims and claims processes, right? When you think about claims processes, the art of the possible today is, you know, how do you simplify the first notice of loss so that you can, you know, in that time of an accident or when someone's reporting the claim, it is the most frictionless possible, frictionless process possible. How do you then understand what's in the claim and route it internally in the right way? Those types of things are very, very common. They are seeing very good returns on implementing that type of innovation. However, at the same time, like when you kind of consider the claims process, when you have to do adjustments, like, you know, so once you say like you have an accident and there's a medical pay, you've got to go to that coverage and assess what the damage is for that. That's today done by, you know, well-trained adjusters, which again, you could ensure like AI can replace it, but not yet. Right. You know, it's one of those things that's on the cutting edge. And as the technology improves and the ability to eliminate bias from the data gets better, you're going to start seeing more and more of that claims value chain taken over by AI.
Data quality and security risks were cited as top barriers to fully realizing AI's value. Srini, what strategies are insurers using to overcome these challenges?
Yep. Again, this is one of the questions I get asked almost on a daily basis, if it's not just in insurance, but in other industries. What I tell our customers is, first of all, security and privacy is paramount. And security and privacy is not something you can come back in and mask on the back end of these things. You have to engineer security guardrails and controls into the underlying AI platform. Right. If you think about these use cases we've been talking about, they run on top of an AI infrastructure. They run on top of a security architecture that talks about role-based access controls. They run on top of this solid platform. The advantage we have with AI that we did not have with other technologies so far is AI workloads tend to be different. So I can actually create a secure platform and build it the right way right from the start. And the benefit that a lot of the insurers and customers see is if you build it into the platform, you don't have to solve it every single time, you know, you're building a new use case. And there are things that you can do and design choices that they make that allow them to kind of move with speed and ensure the data quality, right? Because when you kind of think about it, I can either ingest all the data and figure out how to hide the personal information on the other side of it when the AI spits out the answer. Or I can make the choice to say, like, I actually don't need that information. I can get that when I need it. So I'm never going to ingest PII and PHI information into the AI model. Those are choices you can make. Those are choices you make as part of the design of your AI infrastructure, and those can ensure the overall security of the solution. However, one of the biggest challenges for insurers, especially in the insurance industry, is how do they identify and eliminate the bias that's built in into the data? What I mean by that is, most of the times it's unintentional, you know, the rating rules and everything else that we've used for the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years has got some bias built into it, right, as to how they value risk and others. And that may have changed. But if you keep looking at the past to kind of figure out what the risk looks like in the future, it is going to have those inherent biases that are in the data. So one of the key things that you have to look at is, depending on those use cases, this is the reason why I said, you know, the adjustment part of it, like for medical pay and comprehensive, all those things, you've got to kind of figure out what the bias looks like and figure out how to eliminate it. It's a very simple thing, comprehensive coverage. For these days, like, you know, for the newer cars and the electric things and others, like, they're built to be very resilient. The repairs are lower. But if you get into an accident, restoring it back to the original condition costs a lot more. But if you look at the past and try to predict the future, it is not going to give you the right types of answers. So insurers have to systematically kind of take biases like that out of the historical data so that they can build AI that really is responsive to today's environment, today's developments in the marketplace.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
What are you seeing on the talent front? How are insurers addressing the talent gap as they scale up their AI initiatives and integrate them into core operations?
Yeah, I think the talent gap is really important for any industry to address. But I've got a different spin on it. We already talked about the leaders. The leaders invest the time in making their users better users of AI. And what I mean by that very simply is 95% of the world, 98% of the world uses AI as if they're using Google, right? Like, we used to do a search, we're going to come to AI and ask for the search. That is not the most optimal way to use it. If you're going to embed AI into your process, you have to really rethink, what does the role look like? What did the human used to do? And how do I now start relying on AI to use it very effectively to free up more time so that I can do what matters most in my job? So getting there requires people to practice. Getting there requires people to learn. And the leaders do that. The one area that I've got something that's probably counterintuitive to a lot of people is, one of the greatest things I've seen in AI over the last 2 years is the innovation that's happening there is phenomenal. You know, 3 years ago, if you had to write 400 lines of code, these days I can write 4 lines of code, right? So get that piece. And tomorrow it's going to be forget code. I can write the spec in English and it's going to translate it into code, right? And when you kind of think about that type of innovation, when we talk about skills, it's not the traditional, I need more Java people and I need more cloud people. This is going to be, I need more people who can actually use their creativity and critical thinking and problem solving for them to be able to develop, generate, build these use cases that drive competitive advantage for my business, the business that I'm part of. So talent gap is very important. The leaders are addressing it. But the talent gap also is a little different than what we had to deal with, 5 years ago and 10 years ago.
Srini, what role does responsible AI play in the future of insurance, especially as regulations around data privacy and algorithmic accountability tighten?
Responsible AI is critical. One of the biggest things that insurers pride themselves on is trust, right? You know, the policyholders trust them to take care of things when things are wrong, right? And so I think insurers value that quite a lot. And trust has a direct correlation with how you adopt responsible AI. Responsible AI comes down to three things in my definition. The first one is AI should always be thought of as something that coexists with humans, not replaces them. That means you're going to invest in people as much as you're investing in AI, right? That's one thing I already told you, the leaders of the insurance industry do that. The second piece is you have to make security and privacy of your policyholders' data paramount. We talked about that with bias and security and those pieces. And then the third most important thing is you have to make sure that the solutions you're building are consistent with your values as a company and your core values as a leadership team in an organization. And that is very important these days, Lori, because I'm not very bullish on having consistent regulations across the globe, right? You know, you're always going to have Europe that is trying to lead. You're going to have the US that's going to be somewhere in the middle. And then you're going to have other countries that are saying, forget this, I need to drive innovation so I can, you know, AI is applicable everywhere. Right. So I think if we've got our corporations waiting for some common standard to emerge, that's not happening anytime soon. So the only guardrail and prevention we have to that is for these organizations, these leaders in an insurance industry that focus on trust, implementing those guardrails and governance for themselves, right? Where they take advantage of the innovation that's coming in, but they're also careful about, you know, equity. They're also careful about eliminating bias that's in their data and others so that the solutions that they put out benefit all. Right, benefit their policyholders. So responsible AI is a very critical underpinning now in financial services in general, but also in insurance companies.
And Srini, looking toward 2030, what infrastructure, governance, and cultural shifts will be the most important for insurers seeking long-term sustainable value from AI?
You know, I never thought I would say it in my career. 2030 looks so far away. Because if I looked at 2023, where generative AI start and like, you know, come to now 2025 in July, I could not, you knew this was exponential, but this is just moving at a pace that is blinding. I do think that as we get to 2030, some of the things that we've covered so far are going to be very important. This is not meant in any negative way. Humans always end up being the slowest link in the chain, not because of anything else. We have independent thought. Each of us has our opinions, all of those things. So changing, shifting those opinions takes time, right? Meanwhile, technology is moving at such a pace that if we do not bring humans along, I don't see this being sustainable, because what you're going to see is... is all of the stuff that people are predicting, which is massive job losses and all of those things. And that is not a good thing for anyone in the world. It's not a good thing for the big five who are creating all the tech. And it's not a good thing for the employees that work there, because their roles are going to get replaced. So we have to be able to invest the time and energy into bringing humanity along as AI evolves in that thing. That is going to be very important. The second part of it is to, especially for people like myself who've grown up in IT and technology, we've got to start realizing that like we held the keys to the kingdom, right? You know, since we understood the technology, like everybody had to come to us to kind of figure out how to implement it. Well, these days, that's not the case anymore, right? I can actually find the best advice that I can get, like I go to a big five consultant, or I can actually go ask ChatGPT, and I would get advice. Maybe not, I use this term as this, you got to remember that everything that you get out of AI, at least in the current model, is going to be average. That doesn't mean it's not good. It just means that the data is trained on the worst in the world and the super best in the world. And that's the definition of average. When you do that, it's going to be average. So right now, if you keep using AI, it's going to give you answers that you've not seen before. But pretty soon, as AI gets retrained on all of the things that it's getting generated, it's all that maybe the bar for average increases, but it's always going to be average. So our job is to figure out what makes us as humans exceptional, right? And go there, because if you don't do that, as the bar for average keeps growing up, you know, your jobs are going to be impacted. So I keep coming back to that theme because I'm an optimist on AI. I'm a huge optimist. I can see the potential that it actually brings to the table. But if we don't do the types of things, if we don't really consider the environment, right? When we build things, it really is not sustainable in the long run. So there are a few things like, think about the environment, figure out how you can build AI models that are more focused on the good, not generating pictures of cats playing cards, right? You know, whatever your favorite pastime is on AI. But at least, you know, those are the types of things that we really have to be able to focus on. And the thing I'll conclude it with is, I do not believe that you're going to get consensus at the government and the country level. You're not going to get it. I'm just being practical. I hope we get it, but I don't believe we'll get it. And if that's the case, then it is up to companies that are built on those core values. Like, and I've seen insurers. I've worked at an insurer for 12 years. They're good companies at heart, right? They're in a noble business trying to fix that. Like, if you actually, as an industry, do that properly, then I think we have hope, right? We have hope that like responsible AI is going to come in and we get the benefits of the positive, but at the same time mitigating some of the risks of the negative.
Srini, this has been wonderful. So interesting, so insightful. It's been a pleasure. And I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, Lori. This has been fun.
That was Srini Kaushik, President of AI and Sustainability at Rackspace Technology. For AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.